Press TV Headlines. President Ahmadinejad wraps up his visit to Lebanon with a visit to the south.
Resistance is the key to the victory of the Lebanese nation.
Former detainees at a U.S. jail in Afghanistan say they were mistreated. Drop in bank shares forces U.S. stocks into the red amid a foreclosure scandal. And French students join protests against President Sarkozy's pension reforms. It is 1 a.m. in Damascus and 6 p.m. on Wall Street. This is Press TV's World News. Now, Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has wrapped up his landmark visit to Lebanon with a tour of the south of the country. He visited a border town and a village that were badly hit by Israeli forces during their war on Lebanon in 2006. Locals closed their shops, schools, and offices on Thursday to welcome the Iranian president. Tens of thousands of people gathered in and around a stadium in Bint Jebel to listen to Ahmadinejad's speech. He pledged to the mass crowds in Bint Jebel and Ghana that Iran will keep standing beside Lebanon. Israeli forces killed scores of civilians in Ghana in 2006, most of them women and children. And Bint Jebel was devastated during the war. Ahmadinejad praised the people of southern Lebanon for their resistance against Israel.
Resistance is the key to the victory of the Lebanese nation and all the nations in the region. Our enemies, scared of the unity in Lebanon and the resistance in Lebanon. You have proved that the will of the Lebanese nation and its resistance is more powerful than the sword of the Zionists. But the Zionists will eventually have to go.
Israeli helicopters were seen hovering over the area while Ahmadinejad was giving his speech in Bint Jebel. The Iranian president has now left Lebanon for Iran. Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says the United States is seeking to dominate the Middle East at any cost. Ahmadinejad said Washington and its allies are portraying themselves as liberators through their media outlets. He also lashed out at U.S. economic and military policies in the region. He said many Afghan civilians are getting killed in Afghanistan under the guise of fighting terrorists. In other remarks, he said some Western states are trying to monopolize science and technology, including nuclear know-how. Ahmadinejad made the comments during a speech at the Lebanese University in Beirut. The Iranian president, who has just wrapped up a two-day visit to Lebanon, has met with Lebanese political and religious leaders. He has held talks with the Lebanese premier, Saad al-Hariri, and he has also met with Hezbollah's secretary general, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah. Now, after gaining permission to enter Egypt, the Viva Palestina aid convoy is now preparing to set sail from Syria to the port of Al-Arish, which is only 45 kilometers away from the Rafah crossing in the besieged Gaza Strip. The convoy, which carries $5 million worth of humanitarian aid, is expected to leave for Egypt in the coming days. Our correspondent Hassan Al-Khatib has more.
Sounds of joy and triumph could be heard all around Latakia camp in Syria after the news that the Viva Palestina aid convoy to Gaza had been given full permission by the Egyptian authorities to sail to the port of Al-Arish. The Egyptian go-ahead came after a tense eight-day standoff and followed mediation by several countries, including Syria, to persuade the Egyptians to agree to the passage. But complete details of the deal have yet to be finalized, and many conditions are still being negotiated, including whether certain members of the Viva Palestina convoy, including founder George Galloway, would be allowed to enter. Several politicians and elected officials have joined the convoy, as well as almost 30 survivors from the Israeli attack on the Turkish aid ship Mavi Marmara.
We will find the ships or the ship required to take the 380 passengers and the 137 vehicles very soon, inshallah. And we expect this to happen early Saturday, which means early Saturday we will be sailing from Latakia to Al Arish. And as we have been delayed here by the Egyptians for more than 12 days so far, we expect in Al Arish things to go smooth and easy in order to be in Gaza, inshallah, by the mid of next week.
Organizers of the convoy say the attempt is the biggest and most international aid convoy ever bound for Gaza, with 148 vehicles carrying more than $5 million worth of medication, school equipment and aid. Most convoy members have set their sights for Gaza and have not wavered in their mission of delivering the aid and breaking the siege. One member from the Republic of Ireland will hope to give as much moral support for Gaza and their supporters.
This flag represents my home county in Ireland, Tyrone, and it represents solidarity from where I'm from in Ireland to Gaza. A lot of very famous people that are within the Palestinian solidarity communities have signed it. Norman Finkelstein, Noam Chomsky, Jerry Adams, Nalan Dahl from IHH. Hopefully it will go on to inspire many more people to also follow the lead from their town to Gaza, create flags and create the images that we can use to portray a very positive message for Gaza and Palestine as a whole.
The long-awaited news of being able to sail to Egypt has been the biggest breakthrough so far on this journey. However, the real test has only begun, and the mission is still not over. Hassan Al-Khatib for Press TV, Syria.
Well, Hassan Al-Khatib now joins us from Damascus to give us the latest on that news. Hassan, can you tell us about, you mentioned conditions in your report there that were still being negotiated. Does that mean the Rafah crossing is not yet guaranteed to be open to this convoy?
Yes, hello there. Well, basically, this conditions we've been set have only been for the Al Arish port as it stands. So the vehicles, the passengers and everything else, the permission that was given has only been just to Al Arish. There's still much more negotiations being made in terms of what can pass through the Rafah crossing, and that's still ongoing as it stands. And there has been an update today. We should be sailing on Sunday morning how many people will be going through the port and how many people going through the planes has not yet been decided. More information will be coming soon. Well, it's been quite a long time coming for the decision from the Egyptian authorities to be given to us. We've been in Syria for almost 2 weeks now, but everything in the camp is going well so far. And the mood here is quite upbeat. Most of the convoy members are now very confident in reaching Gaza, and hopefully we should be going on from here.
Right now, Hassan, if everything does go smoothly and the convoy is given permission to enter the Rafah crossing without any issues being created by the Egyptians, what date are you expected to be arriving into Gaza?
Well, obviously, this Sunday we should be arriving to Al Arish. Probably it might take a few days. Who knows how long exactly. Maybe Wednesday or the later on next week. But there isn't a very fixed time. And that's because, again, as I say, the negotiations are still ongoing. And the Egyptians will still be setting certain conditions. And the Viva Palestina convoy management will be trying to do its best to meet those conditions, as they have done with these negotiations in the past few days. So hopefully, maybe at the end of next week, we should be entering Gaza.
All right, Hassan, we will, of course, keep coming back to you for the latest updates on that. That was Hassan Al-Khatib, Press TV's correspondent, joining us there from Damascus. In other news, the EU's foreign affairs chief has proposed a new round of talks with Iran over its nuclear energy program. Catherine Ashton has suggested that they take place over 3 days in Vienna in mid-November. A spokesperson for Ashton's office has said the offer was made following recent positive indications from Iran. The EU official will speak on behalf of the five permanent members of the UN Security Council plus Germany. On Saturday, Iran's foreign minister Manoucher Mottaki said Tehran considers late October or early November as an appropriate time for a resumption of the talks. Dialogue between Iran and the P5+1 has been stalled for about a year now. The West accuses Iran of pursuing a nuclear weapons program, but Tehran rejects the allegation, saying it needs nuclear energy to meet its growing demand for electricity. Now, a new report reveals that American prison guards mistreated Afghan detainees held at the U.S. Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan. The former detainees say jailers placed prisoners in solitary confinement, abused them, and prevented them from carrying out religious duties. They also say they were deprived of proper food and natural light. Other revelations show that prison guards withheld Red Cross visits to the secret U.S. prison. However, the U.S. claims all its facilities operate legally and meet international requirements and detention rules. Over 800 detainees are being held at Bagram Air Base. The secret prison became a symbol of prisoner abuse after U.S. troops beat two detainees to death in 2002. Onto the U.S. now, where shares have fallen amid a deepening foreclosure crisis hitting the financial sector. Experts' worst fears have been realized as the crisis has become systematic and industry-wide. The shares of the largest lenders in the country plunged. Bank of America shares fell by more than 5%, and Wells Fargo stocks dropped by 4.2%. Other banks followed suit as the threat of a foreclosure freeze engulfed Wall Street. Attorney generals from all 50 U.S. states have agreed to conduct a joint investigation into allegations of repossession fraud. Many officials are already calling for a nationwide moratorium on foreclosures. Experts warn that such a freeze can hurt America's already bruised real estate and financial sectors. The United Nations says the U.S. owes it well over $1 billion. The world body's Under Secretary General for Management says member states owe the U.N. over $4 billion. Angela Kane says Washington is the biggest non-payer. She says the U.S. owes a total of $1.2 billion, including $431 million to its peacekeeping division. Washington claims it has paid all its dues in full and on time. The U.S. and the U.N. have been at odds over Washington's debts since the 1990s and before. You're watching the World News here on Press TV. A quick reminder of our top stories of this hour. President Ahmadinejad wraps up his visit to Lebanon with a visit to the South.
Resistance is the key to the victory of the Lebanese nation.
Former detainees at a U.S. jail in Afghanistan say they were mistreated. Drop in bank shares forces U.S. stocks into the red amid a foreclosure scandal. And French students join protests against President Sarkozy's pension reforms.